This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله كريم وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all of those who followed in his righteous footstep until the Day of Judgment is established, and none has knowledge of that day but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you in the greeting of all the Prophet. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Welcome to the third in this lecture series, broad title being Islam's impact on Western culture, if you like. Brothers and sisters, I shall today present the topic human rights or human wrongs. What are human rights and how are we managing in this modern day society to make sure that people have a fair crack of the whip? And how did and what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam come with? What did he advise us regarding human rights? The last sermon delivered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on Mount Arafah in the valley of Urayna was the sermon of all sermons, a sermon that hitherto no one has ever been able to match for its content, for its beauty, for its execution. And more importantly, this is the real crux of the issue. The number of people that went away with all the information from the sermon in their minds and actualized the sermon. This is the difference. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke clearly about the sanctity of human life. He spoke about race relations. He spoke clearly about human rights, human dignity, honor, respect, familial rights, your mother, your father, your sister. Who are these people? What rights have they got over you? And vice versa. We, these days, are faced with a totally different set of rules. We are controlled by a completely different set of human rights. Latterly, a world body known as the United Nations had set up Declaration of Human Rights, set up by Eleanor Roosevelt and her consultants about 50 years ago. That Declaration of Human Rights has superseded the human rights sent by Allah to all the prophets. Subhanallah. We have implemented human values over the divinity. And as a result of that, we can see that things have gone wrong. The UN Declaration of Human Rights, in the preamble, refers to the inherent dignity of the human being, that they are all equal, that members of this family all have an equal right and an equal share. It all sounds very nice. It's very poetic. And what about the human rights that Allah has sent all the prophets with, particularly, as we know, our deen has been perfected and a righteous Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given the true declaration of human rights, divinity, according to divinity, not according to mankind's whims and desires. It was in 1948 that the Declaration of Human Rights was established, after the Second World War, where there were many atrocities committed against our Jewish brothers and sisters and many other people. Even the disabled were discriminated against. After the Second World War, the Declaration of Human Rights was implemented and espoused in all the places of higher learning, all the governments of the world, etc., etc. It became de facto a universal statement which was accepted by and large by all. Even there was an attempt not that long after to create an Islamic version of the human rights. However, I would argue that you just need simply to go back to the Sunnah and the Quran, and you will find every aspect of human rights versus the human wrongs that we see prevalent in our societies today. 1400 years ago then, just to recap, as if you didn't know, if you're a Muslim, that legislation from the divine, from a divine source, was given to us regarding the killing of innocent civilians, race relations, you know, racism, legislation against racism, illegal sexual acts, zina, intoxicants, khamar, the use of weapons of mass destruction. Just how does a person or a group of people or an army engage on the battlefield, and what is allowed for them and what is not? We have the Geneva Convention now, which is a direct result of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But before that, long time ago, we had some very powerful statements and ideas brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, subhanallah. Many other things, of course, were legislated for. How can we look after the poor? How can we look after the women? How can we look after our children? Who makes these rights? Who sets these agendas? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters. It is not Eleanor Roosevelt and the UN who set the tone for how we deal with each other. It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at a number of social indicators, we will find, for instance, that rapes and crimes against women are at an all-time high today. And we will show in this series of lectures, using some statistics and some scientifically proven facts, that we really are in a situation of human wrongs and not human rights. We need to get back to the divine guidance, brothers and sisters, in humanity and in Islam. Take, for example, sexually transmitted diseases, massively on the increase. What about environmental destruction? We need to discuss this issue. What does Islam say about destroying your environment. Terrorism and war, in vogue, unfortunately. Poverty, crimes related to the consumption of alcohol. These are all issues that are swept under the carpet. But if we look at them, we have solutions. We have solutions in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not in the UN Declaration of Human Rights. Brothers and sisters, if we take, to start with, the issue of rapes and crimes against women, that is our sisters, our mothers, our aunties, what about them? In the UK, it is stated in the British Crime Survey 2000 that more than 754,000 women from the age of 16 to 59 in England and Wales were subjected to a brutal sexual assault, more than once in their life. In Bosnia Herzegovina, whilst in the 3-year period there was a war going on, a civil war going on, which we all know and were frankly speaking shocked about, it was reported that there were tens of thousands of rapes that occurred in that civil war. Dreadful, disgraceful. And yet, something more shocking than that, in the USA, in the same 3-year period, more than 317,000 women were raped in that country in the same period. This is a peaceful land, the land of freedom and democracy, and yet we can see that it's not all peaceful. Why is that? Is it human rights or human wrongs? And what's furthermore interestingly, new statistics coming out relatively recently suggest that a woman who dresses modestly is much, much, much less likely to be molested or raped. Now, in Islam, we all know that a woman is encouraged to dress modestly and to cover her hair. They, the believing women, should draw their head coverings over them, over their breasts and over their hair as well, so that they will be recognized and that they will not be molested. Subhanallah. So brothers and sisters, please do join me after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who was the first prophet? Was a prophet the first one to read and write? Did God speak to a prophet?
A prophet in a prison.
A prophet who commanded the birds, insects, and animals? Want to know more? Join us for Stories of the Prophets.
Inspirations from the prophets down the ages past in Stories of the Prophets. Every Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK and 9 p.m. Europe on Peace TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining me after the break. Yusuf Chambers here again. Just a continuation of what we were talking about before the break, brothers and sisters. Very, very important ayah from the Quran, and that was, of course, from Surah Al-Nur. Surah 24, verse 31. Moving on, brothers and sisters, to the next social indicator with which we can define or try to define as to whether or not we have social human rights or human wrongs is the situation known as, of course, most of the people would know them as sexually transmitted diseases. This particular one is AIDS. It is a very serious disease. You know, immunodeficiency, or, you know, the breakdown of the immune system in the body, thus allowing all sorts of diseases and bacteria to affect the human body, the mind as well. Now, people living with AIDS in the USA at the end of 2003, the CDC estimates that there were 452,000 people living with AIDS. That's just in the USA. Of the adults and adolescents that have contracted AIDS, 77% were men. 58% of these people were men who had had sex with men. That's nearly 60% of all the people that have contracted AIDS in the USA were homosexual. The others, 22%, gained the diseases from intravenous drug use, that is, sticking a needle in part of their body. In the world today, we have already 20 million people that have died of AIDS, AIDS-related diseases. In 2004, some 3.1 million men, women, and children have died alone from AIDS. Indeed, since the epidemic began, 25 million people have died of AIDS. These are serious figures. And the problem is that when we see the figures on a piece of paper or on a computer screen, we don't really take them seriously. Imagine 25 million people dying because human rights were not established with them. In fact, human wrongs were established with them. They were told it was okay if they did go and have illicit sexual affairs with the same sex and the opposite sex. They were told it was okay. If you want to do that, that's fine. Whereas the real human rights, surely, brothers and sisters in humanity, were to have told those people, if you want to do yourself a favor, don't do those things. Surely, that is the message of Islam. Today, over 42 million people are living with AIDS in the world. And there's, frankly speaking, not much that you and I can do about it, other than pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that sooner or later, we the Muslims, or the righteous people around the world, try to command the good and forbid the evil and stop the needless, countless people dying, needless deaths of our brothers and sisters in humanity. And again, in the United Kingdom, just under half of the people that have contracted AIDS, again, were men who have slept with men. Moving on now to the sexually transmitted diseases. We have some which you probably know about and some which you don't. Chlamydia is a very new one. It's a silent yet deadly disease which can incapacitate a person and can stop them giving birth to children. It makes them infertile. From gonorrhea to syphilis, which is by and large a disease of the 1960s, all the way through to genital herpes and warts, etc., etc., the list goes on. If you look at the percentage increase in the period from 95 to 2003, syphilis, chlamydia, all of these diseases have increased over 1,000% in that period. Something has gone wrong. The messages we're getting from the people who say human rights is a wrong message. It's a message which needs to change. If we're going to save humanity and serve humanity and truly be good humans, friends of one another, we need to tell each other the truth. When I first gave this lecture in one of the universities in the UK, I was asked by one of the participants, who so happened to be homosexually inclined, you know, The Christians have done a lot for us because they've recognized us as a group of people. What are the Muslims doing for you? My answer to her was, do you want me to tell you the truth? Or do you want me to lie to you? Do you want me to appease you? Or do you want me to help you? Do you want me to be a good human, a fellow citizen? Or do you want me to be a bad one? If you want me to be a bad one, I don't need to tell you the truth. I'll say everything you've done so far and what you're doing and what you plan to do, fine. Go ahead. But if I am going to be a good Muslim, one who submits to Allah and one who loves my brothers and sisters in humanity, I'm going to tell you what you've done was spoken against in the Injil, spoken against in all the major, even scientific works, not to mention, of course, all the major religious works. So, brothers and sisters in humanity, if this young lady wanted me to be a good Muslim towards her, then simply I had to advise her that what she had been doing and what she was continuing to do, although Allah knows best whether she changed her actions after what I told her, that what she fundamentally was doing was wrong. Alhamdulillah, I have to tell you, kula qawlan sadida, speak a truthful word. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, regarding illegal sexual acts, intercourse with a person whom you are not married to, we're talking about men and women here, not men and men, or women and women, as is the prevalence in the West these days. He said, the performance of illegal sexual acts will lead to new diseases, the coming about of new diseases never seen before. Brothers and sisters, human rights or human wrongs? What we've done is we've labeled, we've given the wrong information to humanity. We've labored with it, and it's wrong. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had knowledge from Allah. We should listen to him. We should listen to him. We should listen to him. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith that if you see an evil and you can change it with your hand, you should change it. And furthermore, that if you can't change the evil with your hands, that you should speak against it. And if you can't speak against it, you should hate it in your heart. And that is the lowest form of faith, of iman. Subhanallah. So brothers and sisters, we'll wind up this show by saying that the prevalence of the sexually transmitted diseases comes from the lack of the brothers and sisters we call the Muslims commanding the good, forbidding the evil. And just by way of another example of something quite horrific which I heard about a couple of years ago, that there's a law passed in London which says that if two consenting adults choose to, let's see, sleep with each other in an open public place, it is fine. Except if a third party joins them and says, don't do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, if you see an evil, you can change it with your hand, you change it. I believe that this law is made for the Muslims. It was made for the pious and made for the righteous. So, brothers and sisters, Jazakallahu khairan for listening to me today. All praise is due to Allah. I ask Allah to forgive me for anything I've said in error, which is not from Quran and Sunnah. And inshallah, see you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This journey from afar to the city of Mecca, to spread the word we believe in, the voyage we undertake. Yeah, the echo in the wind, labbaik Allahumma.